The trailer for season 9 of RuPaul's Drag Race triumphantly declares, drastic times call for drag-tastic measures. Amen to that, RuPaul!
These are drastic times indeed. What's really drag-tastic for us is that there are more past guests at Feast of Fun on the new season of RuPaul's Drag Race than ever before.
Today, Mother has arrived again. Jamaican-born goddess Vivacious from season 6 of RuPaul's Drag Race joins us to take a closer look at all the colorful creatures from the new season.
Listen as we kiki on who is most likely to snatch the crown, who will most definitely get a bad edit, and does a contestant's weight gain or weight loss during the season tell us anything about how far they got?
Plus, Mother Monster has arrived. Lady Gaga judges the queens on the season 9 premiere of RuPaul's Drag Race. Rah, rah, ooh, la, la. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun.
Attention all non-basic queens. Attention all non-basic queens. Show how fierce and fabulous you are with our drag queen-inspired t-shirts.
Reading is fundamental.
Hunty.
The shade is strong with this one.
And Shantae. Fabulous fashion for guys and gals with charisma, uniqueness, nerve, and talent. Available at feastoffun.com/store.
Hi-ho, hi-ho, mother, she has arrived. She's serving drag, she's up in goon. The bitch looks contrived. Hi-ho, hi-ho.
Mother has arrived.
That's a new track for season 9 that y'all don't know of.
How does that go again? What?
That's a new track for season 9 that y'all don't know of yet.
Sing it for me one more time. I missed it.
Sean, you act like I write these things down.
Oh, you just made it up?
My one-liners are like Donald Trump golden shower, honey. Comes right out. Mother has arrived.
Yay! We all have our fans here. Okay, now kids at home, you can flap the fan along with Vivacious. Pull out your Vivacious fans, available at vivaciousnyc.com.
Mm-hmm.
They can buy it at vivaciousofficial@gmail.com or at vivaciousnyc.com.
Okay. Kids, pull out your Vivacious fans. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Mother
has arrived.
Has arrived.
And season 9 has arrived. Finally.
Season 9 has arrived.
And you know, I have to say, after this Donald Trump administration, just 2 weeks into office, it couldn't come at a better time.
And on my birthday, they announced it on my birthday. It was like a special gift just for me. Thank you, RuPaul.
Yes, RuPaul has actually given the LGBT community therapy that we needed. Mm-hmm. And this is it.
It's magical. Mm. So the coolest thing about season 9 is that you have most former Feast of Fun guests on the series. And of course, like all the girls who have been on our show who get on Drag Race, none of them are returning our calls anymore.
Shea Coulee, James Mansfield, Charles Hines, Peppermint.
They are missing in action, honey.
They're busy.
Call me, honey. We want to do stuff with you.
That's okay, darling. When they leave the show first, they'll be needing you afterwards.
Mm. Karma is just like that. I'm thinking that all of them are going to make it to all the way to the top.
These girls, Shaky Lay, James, Charlie, and Peppermint are all very talented queens.
Dear drag world that mm-hmm. follows drag queens and Drag Race, just because it's pretty, it doesn't mean she's the winner.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Fish does not equate to top 5. Art does.
Listen, Peppermint's an artist, and your neighbor Charlie Hard's an artist, media mogul James Mansfield.
But Peppermint never ever try to give this illusion that I'm a pretty fish queen. Peppermint just does Peppermint.
Mm-hmm. Are you saying she's ugly?
You know what I mean?
Why do you think she's ugly?
I'm not saying she. First of all, I don't know anybody who could beat a face better than Peppermint. But what I'm saying is a lot of these girls look as though their makeup is based on, I watched RuPaul's Drag Race. I got my inspiration between Raven, Delta Work, and a few other girls, and this is my face.
Well, it looks like any queen who wants to be on Drag Race this season has to have a Roxy Andrews nose contour. I'm looking at all of y'all, especially Farrah Ramone, who has a little white dot in the middle of her nose that looks like she's been, you know, covered in goo.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of funny that like nose contouring or highlighting has become such a trademark thing for drag queens who want to get on Drag Race.
Well, the funny part is, let's speak about contouring. If there's anybody who can carve a face, and I literally do mean the word carve in its rawest form, that would be Nina Bonina Brown.
Mm.
The arts and crafts queen who transforms her face with just a little bit of paint and construction paper.
Yes, she's the raw version of the airbrush version of Acid Betty, yes.
So let's start by talking about Nina Bonina's Trump Olé makeup. She tries to distort her face to look not just like a drag queen, but all kinds of creatures. And what I admire most about her aesthetic is that it's so accessible and economical.
She's very much that. Yes, you can, through all the makeup, you can see that Nina is just right to the bone. There is a video where she goes from this skinny black boy, and I'm not going to ever use the word ugly like James Mansfield used trying to make a reference to me. Ooh. She went from a skinny bitch, I said it, and I'm going to get to her, couch and fix that line on her wig later on, too. But back to Miss Bonina Brown, though, she physically literally took the parts from the couch, shoved them into her ripped up pantyhoses, and sculpted her body in front of the whole world. When most queens put on ass and hips, it looks very, what do you call it, very draggy.
Yeah.
Hers look like hooker star booty about to pimp, about to prostitute.
Yeah, Nina Bonina Brown strikes me as somebody who lives near an arts and crafts store. And when they throw out their old makeup and our old arts and crafts supplies, she dumpster dives and turns their garbage into her treasure.
One man's garbage is Nina Brown's treasure. I do truly believe that to a certain extent, yes. She also did a video recently where she painted her face in black and white, and then she was doing like a 1960s or 1940s number.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so funny because from her doing it, you didn't get Nina Bonina Brown at that point. It literally transported you back as though you're watching a black and white channel, a black and white TV from like the 1920s, watching her do this number. She knows her colors. She knows her paint. It's, you know, and that's what she puts out there. So she knows how to give all these other looks. I recently was given the honor of actually talking to her online after she made it to Drag Race to understand where she's coming from. And she told me that when she gets her bookings, she would like to only do one number, but I explained to her why she needs to do two or three. She says the reason why she likes to do one number is it takes her a very long time to put on all that makeup to give that one specific look. So it's very hard to come up with a second look in that time frame to change again.
Well, girl, you better get on it.
I told her that she might need to hybridize her Nina Bonina Brown. I said, what you should do is this. Learn to paint the same way how your sisters paint for the season. Give them girl face for when you do your bookings. When you do your Instagram stuff separately, then do your Nina Bonina Brown character, because the crowd is expecting to see multiple costume changes and a look from you. Mm-hmm. If it's going to take her 4 hours to paint her face, there is not 4 hours in a 45-minute break in between your first show and your second show, plus your meet and greet, for you to paint a 4-hour look. So she needs to change that part of her mentality, her concept and mentality and execution, if she wants to get more bookings in that sense. I told her, I said, it's not about being stuck with what you want. It's you also have to give the crowd what they expect.
So her inner saboteur is her desire to only have one look at a time per evening.
Right, as in she's going to sculpt out what we've seen based on, let's say, her introduction picture to the world. If she's going to sculpt, she's going to stick to that route, which means that she has a specific costume that works with that look. However, there is not a secondary and a tertiary costume that would work with that look. So if she comes out to do Barbara Streisand or Barbara Mandrell, she better have three costumes somehow for them. But if she has something else that is not in that facial look, then she won't have anything to present. So she would have to undo, because her looks kind of pigeonholes her in terms of one direction for the night. You can't do that when you have to see, your performance look is completely different from your meet and greet look.
I hear you. Yeah. Let's talk about the what their strengths are and what their inner saboteur is going, how the inner saboteur is going to hold them back in the race. Let's talk about James Mansfield, who, I think, like, she's somebody who's been on this podcast a lot. She helped us film a lot of Cooking with Drag Queens episodes. She's part of the Chicago community in Milwaukee. She built a lot of Trixie Mattel's wigs and puppets. So she's somebody who I think has a lot of skills that a lot of people are dismissing because she's so cute.
And also, too, I categorize her as one of those media moguls because she's one of those girls that puts out media online. She does videos.
Jane Mansfield's Herstory series, available on YouTube.
Right. Well, here's the thing, though. I understand where you're coming from. You know her background more than I ever will in any way, shape, or form. I would probably say the only person who I could physically speak about on a one-on-one basis would probably be Peppermint, because, A, she lives in my building two floors down. I've known her my whole life. Actually, if you break into my apartment and you steal all the keys, I won't say exactly where the keys are. One of those keys will actually be the keys to Peppermint's apartment. Now, yes, I live on the 15th floor. So good luck trying to figure out what floor I live on, bitch.
We just sat
on the 15th floor.
That narrows it down.
Yes, it does, considering that my building only have 9 floors. So good luck with the 15th floor.
Did you know that Peppermint was on Drag Race when she got on the series? Or you were like, because I think you're like the Gladys Kravitz of drag. You're like snooping on your neighbor and be like, I noticed you were gone for a couple of weeks. What happened?
No. I don't snoop. I don't snoop. So let me explain my tie with Peppermint and her tie with mine. In my season, I only auditioned once for Drag Race and got on the same time that I auditioned. I have Club Kid costumes. What I did not own are wigs and gowns. Peppermint loaned me a shitload of her wigs and gowns to use in my my More is More section for my drag video.
Okay.
And I use those in the video and get down. I get, and then the following season, which was season 7, for the first time, Peppermint decided to audition. So I gave her Club Kid stuff that she could use to make her look more eclectic. And also, when she was filming, I made sure that I did pull a Gladys Kravitz and I stuck my head in the video and go, this is vivacious. You need to put this bitch on the show.
All right. So you've been pushing them to have Peppermint for quite some time.
I've been pushing her from season 7, season 8. For season 9, she nearly was going to give up, because for season 7 and 8, she got all the way up to the where they entered the psychiatric interview, and then she got turned down.
Oh, she wasn't crazy enough.
That interview was like that one last thing that tips it over the top, and boom, you're on the show.
Considering the queens have been pretty outrageous, what is the psychological test really looking for then?
I don't think they want you on the show if you're crazy, because if you're psychologically deranged and you didn't get far, you might go home and try to kill yourself.
I believe you. For a lot of these entertainers, it's a life or death situation.
There are some people who take the show so literally that they will physically let it affect them that badly in terms of not getting on the show or leaving early in the show. And, you know, if you don't have a good buddy system, and that's what they also ask you in one of those interviews is, do you have a good buddy system of friends to help you through if you get a bad editing or you leave early? As in, you better have something back home to fall back on in terms of friends, so that you don't get psychotic on yourself and kill yourself because you feel that you were embarrassed in front of the world that RuPaul kicked you off her show early. So she made it to the top somehow. It didn't. The odds were not in her favor at that time.
Okay.
But then this season, she made it back up to the top again, and she didn't tell me at all. And then it was like right before she was about to leave a few weeks. And even on season 9, when she auditioned, I was coming from down the street with my groceries coming from the store. And I dipped my head in the video again and I said, bitch, y'all better put this girl on the show. And then, you know, we are also to a certain extent, if you've been in a past season, you could like write a letter of recommendation and go, this is a queen that you should put. So I wrote a nice little recommendation for her, which I did for all 3 seasons. And so this time when she wasn't going to go, she decided she wasn't going to audition this time around. And I called her up and forced her to do it. And she decided to do it. And look at her.
She's the first trans woman to be on the show. So for all the trans women that I've been trying to get them to put in their audition videos,
including Peppermint
on the show, we even talked about that with her. She is now making history.
Yes, she is. Her story.
Trans history.
She's making trans history, and she's doing a wonderful job. One of the things that I like about her is she is one of the most liked people on the planet. In my head, I'm like, Peppermint is a black girl with a white woman on the inside. What I mean is she doesn't have black... I'm not even joking. She doesn't act like, you know, like a lot of, you know, maybe it's the misconstrued enough how they see, you know, black folks at times. It's like they always try to see us as black girl with an attitude. She is not black girl with an attitude. That's a blonde ambition trying to move forward.
All right. Her name Peppermint comes from originally was Peppermint Gummy Bear. And she says that
it was Peppermint Gummy Bear. Yes.
A hot guy at a park bench told her that he should name herself Peppermint. But that awfully sounds a lot like the plot to Hedwig and the Angry Inch.
I have no clue how her name came about. All I remember was one day I got a text message going, hey, I want you to invite you to, it's my graduating party. I just graduated from AMDA and I'm doing my first debut of me as Peppermint and I'll be singing a whole bunch of tracks. And she was singing with another queen and we were invited to the show and myself and my roommates, we went and we literally saw the birth of Peppermint in terms of her graduating from college and then doing this show. And then after that, she was literally one of the first queens back then who was a college graduate that was taking drag, that was taking her theater courses right into the drag scene. Because before that, it was the Candace Canes, the Girlinas, and for them, Girlina is more from the trained dancing point of view, so is Candace Cane. Lipsinka is in a full class by herself. You know what I mean? And that's eras before that. So Peppermint is the new version of that. And so she was one of the first ones that was now taking all her theater training and chuck it in. So I guess I would say in a sense, Peppermint might have paved the way for all these brand new girls coming up, because back in our day, it was only the kiki bitches that were working in clubs. As in, if you weren't a kiki girl, and by kiki, I don't mean musical theater. I mean the ability to have natural rhythm dance and carry the hell on up in a room, they were not, excuse my language for cursing, I do apologize, they were not booking you. And she was one of the first people who started to do that in New York City back in 1996. And then it then spawned a new generation of people going, well, I think I went to school for theater and now I'm going to go jump into this too.
Now, the wig that Peppermint wears in her introductory video is a wig that looks a lot like Perfidia's wigs, and I'm guessing Perfidia also made some of Bob the Drag Queen's wigs and is touring with a Hedwig on Broadway
and the Angry Inch
Angry Inch. So Perfidia is kind of a well-known, beloved New York City drag wig maker icon, and so I think we're gonna see a lot of similar wigs on Peppermint that we saw on Bob as well.
Right. Yes. Perfidia, to be honest, has held up New York City. If it wasn't for Perfidia, there would be a lot of bald bitches like Kevin Aviance running around New York City.
So let's go down the list here and talk about like some of the lesser known queens, because there's a lot of girls from New York City this season. One of them is on the top of the list is Aja. She's 22 years old from Brooklyn, New York. She's names herself after a Bollywood song lyrics and, like Pearl, has a nose ring and is a slutty anime girl.
Right. I had the honor of working with Aja for my Uptown party here in Harlem at Keep It Coming Sundays. And I brought her up. This was like early in the summertime. The reason why I brought her up is because I always try to find girls that have energy. I'm an energy queen. I look for girls who, not so much musical theater, but who gives a lot of energy and knows how to captivate and hold on to a crowd. And Aja was one of those. There are two types of drag in New York. There is the New York drag and then there's Brooklyn drag. Brooklyn drag is this other. It's not. I would say Brooklyn drag in a sense is probably original drag in terms of the real misfits, the real punks, the real hardcore at the root of what drag is, where there are no rules on the table. It's I'm going to take this and own it. And Aja is from in that scene, but she's also mixed herself. She's a hybrid of the Brooklyn scene, but she's also a hybrid of the newer version of, hey, I saw all these beautiful looks on RuPaul's Drag Race, and I'm going to be in that world. So she's mixed the two of them together because Aja is also a queen that doesn't wear titties.
Mm.
Well, she has titties in her. No, she doesn't. Yeah, you're right.
No, Aja wears no titties, darling. She wears no titties. She is in a dress and as flat as Trump's invisible wall. But she gets the job done. She gets the job done. And, you know, it's always a pleasure to work with her.
Alexis Michelle. She's age 33. She's a Broadway baby from New York City whose drag name is just a feminization of her male name, Alex Michaels.
Right. So Alexis Michelle, one of the things that catapulted her to fame was she was doing a show called So You Think You Can Drag, and she won her season. And in her in one of the pieces that she was doing, she literally did a Wonder Woman twirl and went from an ugly witch right into a full Disney-esque beautiful character. You can find the video online. And it was one of the fiercest reveals ever that has ever been done, you know. And so that caught the attention of a lot of people over the years. But she's always been using her craft from the time she's graduated to keep always pushing the bar for herself. And I also had the opportunity to work with her, and I brought her up here to the parties that I do on Sunday as well. And she knows how to sing. She knows how to use a mic quite well. And she's one of the nicest people you'll ever meet.
What about Sasha Velour, who's from Brooklyn, New York, who calls herself a competitive thinking queen, like you? And Angina is known for not wearing wigs, and she runs her own drag magazine.
Yeah, Velour.
And she's a long-term listener of Feast of Fun. Thank you, Sasha.
Yes, I don't know that much about her. I actually had the opportunity to call her the other day to, for every season, what I do is there's a few queens that I will call and impart the knowledge that was imparted to me. It's to make sure that they at least have a foot to stand on in terms of what to do once they get called out to RuPaul's Drag Race, such as get your merchandise together, set up your PayPal accounts, know what your booking fee should be, but also be flexible, stuff like that. I try to help them with the stuff that they need to know. I try to help them to figure out what booking agencies they might try to work with, etc., the pros and cons. So I will have the opportunity to speak to her the other day. She's been doing this for a while on the Brooklyn end, and she's very stable in terms of what she's doing. She knows her characters. She knows herself. Do I personally know her that well? No, I don't. I was only able to speak to her on the phone that day. But she is from the set of Brooklyn, Queens, where wigs are optional, as in I don't need a wig to be a woman. I don't need a wig to do drag. You know, as I said, the Brooklyn form of drag, it's everything goes as long as you own it. You could be the most busted off queens on the planet, but if you can turn out the bustedness off your queen in terms of in your performance and sell it to the crowd, that's your drag.
What about Charlie Hides, who is a dual citizen from Boston in the UK? You guys have heard her on this podcast, best known for her Madonna, Cher, Lady Gaga catfights on YouTube.
I used to watch those hilariously. what I kind of gathered from this kind of season is, I think in my season, it was queens who work in the straight scene that also are LGBT. So what I got from season 9 was queens who do a lot of YouTube video viralism that are on Drag Race. Does that make sense?
Well, sure. World of Wonder is trying to beef up their YouTube channel because that's the future of video.
Television.
Yeah.
James Mansfield and Charlie Hides are known for their YouTube stuff. They have a lot of content. So it's like I see, and also Miss Nina Bonina Brown. It's like I see that type of a mind shape. But what I always try to tell people is just because you have a YouTube channel doesn't mean you're the winner for Drag Race, or just because you're viral at what you do out there doesn't always translate into how does drag work in terms of what Mother Ru wants you to do on the show.
Right. But
in this sense, though, it did also give them an edge to get in on the show because they had content from a different sense. But what it also does is this, you know, RuPaul is looking for the rounded girls that can dance, sing, act, know how to hold a microphone, read a teleprompter, and get all of that done. I'm not one of those girls because I have CSS and I have CRS. I can't see shit and I can't remember shit and I have cataracts and I read from the Helen Keller Institute of the Holy Braille. So a person like James Mansfield and Charlie Hides and Nina Bonina Brown would possibly work best for that. And I have seen Charlie Hides stuff. And let me tell you, she is hilarious.
Mm.
It's Charlie Hides.
Yeah, I think and she's the oldest queen to be on the show. But people who underestimate Charlie Hides, she is hilarious and very witty. So she can, and she also very, you know, somebody who's a survivor, who's somebody who's worked in drag like Peppermint, you know, for decades. It's really great that the show's rewarding people who've actually invested a lot of their lives into this and not just somebody who, you know, grew up watching Drag Race and collects fashion magazines.
Right. Because it's like, this is what somebody said to me this season. They said, I'm looking at a few of these queens and I believe that they were only doing drag to try to get on Drag Race.
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah.
Which is, you know, I think a part of it is, you know, a lot of great art inspires the fans to imitate it and to add to it. And it makes total sense that fans of Drag Race would want to participate.
Well, my thing on that is this, though. If you're only doing drag just to get on Drag Race, you should not be doing drag. Do drag because you love it. You also need to be out there for many years to gain the experience. There is nothing worse than booking a queen because you think she looks pretty on Drag Race. Bring her in your club, she charges you an arm and a leg, and when you tell her to turn on the music, she looks like a dead petal standing there on stage, and you're like, bitch, I want my money back. So I believe that when you're out, for instance, Shea Coulee did not get here yesterday. Shea Coulee has been, she has been picking daisies in the field right next to me, right next to other people out there for years to make sure that Shea Coulee is the top of her game by the time she got to this game, that when she auditioned, it's not, well, Shea, I see that you only have a YouTube following because you are trying to get the Drag Race. It's you have many years of honing yourself and keep pushing yourself and refuse to stay stagnant, but you kept on growing. One of the things that Mother RuPaul always looks for is growth. And well, if it's the reason why a lot of these pageant girls don't understand why they don't get on the show. If you look the same last year and the year before and you're still trying to audition with that, stop.
And the thing with Shea too is like here she is auditioning at the same time as Kim Chi and also
Trixie
and with Trixie and with Pearl, and so Pearl and Trixie get on one year, the next year, you know, she's like, this is my year, it's my year for with Kim, and then Kim gets on, she's living across the hall from you, and you see her blow up and you're just like, damn, am I ever gonna get on this show? But you know, it's one of those things is you just have to keep on trying and eventually they're gonna, and that's part of the reason I think RuPaul kind of likes those, kind of like she wants to see, like she did the same thing with like Sharon in Alaska. It's like you want to see one person go on first because it fits, and then you know the other person needs to like cook a little bit more.
Now Shea Coulee in her video describes herself as a high class supermodel you don't want to fuck with, and says that she's been playing nice until now.
Ooh.
And I'm like, now you, Mark and I, you know, and I, and the kids here in Chicago know Shea Coulee pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
So if that's playing nice, you better, bitches better watch your back.
Well, let me jump back real quick and then jump into Shea Coulee. You talk about queens that have auditioned for many seasons before they got on. If I'm correct, Alexis Michelle auditioned for all 8 seasons.
Oh, wow.
And so her relentlessness and her perseverance finally paid off. So to all the children on Feast of Fun and to all the children out there in World of Wonder World, do not stop. Why would you deny yourself the ability to be a part of a higher pantheon and echelon? Be like Alexis Michelle, honey, don't stop. Let's jump into Miss Shea Coulee. Shea, I got one good piece of advice for you. There's a saying from Star Trek Voyager by Neelix, and it said, it's nice to be nice. What I mean by that is this. Meaning that the words that you say sound as though you're going to come off with an attitude. I don't personally believe that. So make sure you clear up that context and that sub language with all your fans and reassure them that you're not going to be that person. Well, go out into the world. Well, go out into the world as a. You go first.
No, I was just saying that Shea Coulee is somebody who was very much a big part of the beginning of Cooking with Drag Queens. Although when we were going to film the episode with her, she got nervous. Remember?
Well, she was busy with things.
She was busy with things.
She wanted to cancel. I was like, girl, I have a whole crew here and you're set to go.
Was this right around the time when Drag Race was probably in swing?
We filmed in
February.
It was
way before that. But the thing about it is that she and Kim Chi's episode were filmed back to back. And so the reason we did that is because we knew that because Kim Chi is very good about showing up on time. She's, you know, she's very rigorous. Where Shea Coulee has for other reasons, being punctual sometimes is not her strength. And so I knew that when we were filming with Kim Chi, that Shea Coulee wouldn't blow it off because Kim Chi was there doing her episode and she didn't want to be left out.
Oh, so you are trying to be strategic, hunty.
Oh, yeah, because it's like part of it is a lot of it with entertainers and people who are part of a community is that it's really hard to make it. And so sometimes your inner saboteur gets in the way and argues for you not to do something that gets your name and your voice and your face out there. Like for the thing about it is like this podcast and Cooking with Drag Queens, of course we benefit by having amazing entertainers and performers on them. That's what the whole podcast is about, is the artist making culture and culture itself. And so for a drag queen to decline the opportunity for anybody, especially with a large audience, to put their name, put their voice and their face out there is really just them allowing their inner saboteur to get in the way. And that's part of the reason why a lot of queens don't even get their audition videos in on time for Drag Race is because busy.
It is true. Let me tell you something. I think in general, almost every gay person, we all have inner saboteurs. And I'm going to tell you why. The minute we found out that we were gay, we already have a saboteur because their society already trying to say we can't be who we are.
Oh, yeah.
And that's already one layer of mental saboteur that's already sitting there. And then it makes you second guess everything else. And it makes you find excuses for what you need to do. So, you know, it's like, you know, that's why RuPaul always talk about that inner saboteur is it's really mind over matter. Try to not let your brain get the best of you, you know, and try to move. If you can break through your own fourth wall off your inner saboteur, you will actually become a stronger person in real life.
Now, Shea Coulee did a Kickstarter, or no, it was an Indiegogo campaign for a video called Lipstick City, which was it was kind of a just an exploration of what it would be like to be Shea Coulee And I'm not sure. Is there a plot to Lipstick City?
I think the boyfriend cheated on her with like all the other drag queens. Mm-hmm. Was that the one?
Yes.
Yeah. And so Shay plays two people in it. She plays Miss Kool-Aid, who's like this fancy, model whose husband or boyfriend is cheating on her. And then she also
cheated
plays
on her.
Shay,
right. I loved it. I think that to me was her investing in herself right there. And I think that went out into the universe, and that's one of those extra little things that you do can add up to bigger things. And I believe that even though she did that, what we're talking about, it helped add it up to her getting on RuPaul's Drag Race. Absolutely. It played a part into this.
Oh, without a doubt. And that's the thing. It's like you have to create culture. You have to create content, whether it's video, whether it's a blog, whether it's your Instagram. You have to be doing stuff online that people can see.
You have to collaborate. Most importantly, is have conversations with people you don't normally talk to.
That's really the real meaning of life, isn't it? It's like if you only speak to the kitchen sink, honey, you will never know what's going on in the oven.
What's Shay Kool-Aid? What's Shay's Kool-Aid inner saboteur? What's going to get in her way?
I think in general, not so much looking at her. I think she's based on our interview, I could tell that she's probably very headstrong in terms of what she feels is her conviction.
Yeah. Mm.
And I believe that if you hold on to a strong conviction, mm-hmm. you will never learn to release yourself and go with the flow.
All right.
But I predict that she's going to go pretty far because she's got looks and she has talent.
I also predict she's going to go really far for one good reason. I've checked out a shitload of her YouTube videos and she knows exactly what she's doing as a performer. But what also puts her over the top is the fact that she is very current. She's extremely stylish. She knows what she needs to get done to get the job done. And that's one of the things that RuPaul's Drag Race always look for, is those girls that are very strong performers, but they also have a good fashion sense to them. Because drag isn't just, I'm a strong performer. You have to have fashion and style with it also. If it's not there, you got to remember, at the end of the day, you're branding yourself out there into the world. If you can only do one thing great and not other things, that makes you a one trick pony. So your booking ability will be very distorted once you go out into the real world.
You know, let's talk about Farrah Moan. She's a Texas gal from now in Las Vegas who names herself after Farrah Fawcett and the fact that she likes to moan. And Kimora Black, who's 28, she's also from Las Vegas and names herself after Las Vegas strippers. So we have two queens from the same town who admire and like to be slutty.
Right. Well, here's the thing. I'm a club kid person. Pretty girls don't do it for me. So you would have to skip that question because I don't judge drag based on how pretty somebody is. I judge it on where's your content. How much can you kiki? How can you turn out the show? I don't know anything about them in that sense. I must say, though, these girls look fierce.
So you don't like Trinity Taylor, who's also a pageant queen? I guess she actually beat Alyssa Edwards in a pageant. She's got like a bunch of titles.
Trinity Taylor isn't just a pretty face. Trinity Taylor has the work to back it up.
She's also former Miss Pulse Orlando, which is the nightclub that was the scene of the deadly mass shooting in June. So definitely, I would say that the producers wanted to acknowledge and pay tribute to that community.
Right. This is what I personally believe. I believe that Trinity Taylor is going to go very far because this is a pageant lady, and I'm not going to call her a pageant girl. I should probably call her pageant royalty. She knows her shit. And there is something to be said for the girls that are in the pageant scene applying for Drag Race. It gives them an extra edge. You know, the reason why I say there's a big difference between Trinity Taylor and Farrah Moan is Farrah Moan is just a pretty fish. You could look at it the same thing as looking at Valentina. It's just a pretty boy that makes a prettier girl or a prettier girl that makes a very gorgeous boy. Trinity Taylor, she has the work to back it up.
Eureka, she's 25 years old. She's a Johnson City, Tennessee pageant gal.
She's the big girl.
Named herself after a vacuum cleaner because I guess she likes to suck.
Because Regina Upright was already taken.
And she is compared by a lot of fans of Drag Race as a younger, hungrier Ginger Minj. Yes.
I can see it. But I tell you this much, when there's always a new season of Drag Race, the first thing I do is I go out and I start to search the internet and I look for their carbon footprint. Carbon footprint means videos of yourself as a performer spanning back 9 months before Drag Race, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, because that to me tells me the truth of who you are. Miss Eureka, she might be a big girl, but she's a big twirl, honey. This bitch, she can carry on. She can actually dance. She's dropping in the splits. She does. Miss Eureka carries on as though she is a size one skinny bitch. I love a big girl that can twirl. Miss Eureka gives that to you.
Is there a danger of having your drag aesthetic be an all-you-can-eat buffet? Eureka describes her drag aesthetic as having so many things, it just sounds like she's basically going from A to Z.
I don't have a problem with that, because A to Z means that she has multiple options in terms of what she can portray any day. I could be a he, I could be a she, I could be anything I want to be. So she can range, you know, she's given, okay, for instance, let's take a look at her picture. She is not giving you a full pageant do on her head like how Alexis Michelle is. She is giving you pageant from the middle of her head and up. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So She straddles the line of I'm a full blown pageant girl, but that middle bump gives it to you as I can also probably go club kid or something else in the process. So there's nothing wrong with that. You know, a lot of people who do drag in this day and age give themselves limits, as in I can only do A to B to C. I don't touch X, Y, and Z or Q or S, T or L, M, N, O, P. And so there's nothing wrong with having an open palette, because an open palette, if you can explore it properly, it gives you a lot of working room. For instance, I am not a fishy queen, but there is a scene out there in the world that's always going, we want the club kid Vivacious to always work with us. Now, the other clubs are like, oh, I don't do her. She's not pretty enough. She doesn't do wig. She doesn't give us pageant here. Girl, I am not sweating that club that badly. I go where the flow and the universe tells me to go.
Well, you also have an appreciation for drag history, whereas someone else is maybe doing it because they enjoy the attention, they enjoy the transformation, but they're not too concerned with, you know, the culture and the community that surrounds them.
Also, they don't care. They don't. What I find with a lot of this younger generation of the LGBT is they don't know their history and they don't care to know their history. And they only want to know the history when something traumatic happens. And it's like, that's not the time to only seek out your history. You need to know who are the people who fought for you to be here, for you to be so open. 2 weeks ago, I performed in Naya Day Keep Pushing On. And I explained to the crowd, I said, this is a lady who's been fighting for the LGBT community since 1992. Mm-hmm. And they're like, I've never heard that song before. I'm like, sweetie, it's one of the most positive, uplifting songs on the planet. How could you not know it? You know, when I decided to come out the closet, I didn't decide to come out and only know where I came out at in terms of years. I decided to go backwards. I wanted to know what Larry Kramer was doing. I wanted to know what ACT UP was doing. I wanted to know what, you know, and what things were happening. I wanted to know, you know, about the, you know, God rest their souls, about the first set of gays that were burned in a social meet that were locked in a building. You know, I want to know my history, because if you know your history, you know where you stand from and you know how to move forward mm-hmm. in strength.
And this is why I'm excited about Valentina. She's a Los Angeles queen who I'm not sure if her heritage is Mexican or Puerto Rican, but she seems very knowledgeable about campy gay Hispanic and Latino culture. And so her drag name comes from a Pedro Almodovar film, and is a very well-spoken Latina queen who likes to take her time getting into drag. So I'm keeping my eye on Valentina because she looks like somebody who is going to go pretty far in the sense that she's very intelligent about how she goes about doing what she does.
Well, again, I'll go back to this. You can, yes, there are many people out there who can spend hours and get ready on drag. There are some people who are devoted to the aspect of drag. Look at Mother Ru. She used to say that sometimes she takes 6 hours and slowly get ready to become the beautiful monster that she is, you know. And I saw videos of Valentina, and let me tell you, she handles the Spanish performances like a champ. She turns it out. I must say, though, a lot of queens like to compare other people to other people. And I always say that's never right to compare another queen to another queen. But if you look at Valentina's picture, doesn't she remind you kind of Tyra Sanchez?
But Tyra Sanchez seemed very caught up in her own obstacles in her life.
She had her own difficulties to deal with mentally. Valentina is not from that era. Valentina owns everything around her. Valentina, to me, screams opulence. She owns everything. You know, when Valentina walks into a room, honey, it's all eyes on her. Valentina could be doing a performance in a dress with no titties on, and she will still snatch all the money in the room. Whereas somebody else could go and put on the world's biggest size tits, you know, to get the attention of given the illusion of drag and walk off with $3. So Valentina is one of those. She's Valentina actually, I mean, is quite breathtaking as a boy.
What's her inner saboteur? What do you think is going to hold her back?
I think, you know, since this is the season, this is the season of we're back to the pretty fish. I think that, to me, I would say overall, the inner saboteurs is trying to be too sultry, too feminine, because I believe that when you're too sultry and too feminine, it doesn't give off the energy of a fierce performance, because you got to remember, the kids that are in the audience are like savage piranhas with dollar bills and saliva dripping out of their mouth in the middle of a performance. And in their heads, they don't want you to give them Laganja death drop, but they want you to give them something so memorable it makes them scream. You know, but there are two parts to the coin. There's the performance side, and then there's the other side of the queens who only just gravitate to a queen just because she's pretty. And so me being an older queen, pretty does nothing for me. It's just entertainment.
It certainly seemed like in the early years of the RuPaul's Drag Race, it was all about the pretty queen, and we kind of got fed up with it after season 3, even though we love Raja. It was just like, oh gosh, another pretty queen wins. And then I think season 4 kind of changed.
I wouldn't say Raja is a pretty queen, but Raja also knew how to. Raja had no inner saboteurs.
But had style. You know, she had an interesting style, but it was about a model, good looks, tall, thin, great bone structure, beautiful, you know.
Yes, but Raja went into every single challenge and owned it like a fucking boss. Owned it. There was nothing you could throw at her to like mentally trap her. She wasn't that lady. She was not trapped mentally in any cages at all whatsoever. Raja has no problem going into an emotion. What should I say? A genre and pull out the emotions of that genre to give it back to you.
Now, Cynthia Lee Fontaine is there's a lot of rumors that she may or may not be.
Well, there's rumors that she's going to be that she's going to be a surprise queen, because I guess there was an interview with RuPaul on NPR and they could hear somebody saying something in Espanol and everybody's like, that's her.
Ay, qué bonita.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what? It would be an honor to see her cuckoo again. Please remember, she might not have been clear last season when she did her reunion with RuPaul, but you do understand that I think probably one of the reasons why she probably had to, because her getting eliminated because of her pants, her shorts was kind of open. Remember how the shape was? To me, made no sense. That I would not have eliminated Cynthia for that. To me, that was more of a justice for Cynthia Lee Fontaine.
Getting eliminated saved her life because she ended up having cancer.
Right. So I believe that maybe what happened to her medically has probably put her in the sphere of she could be back for season nine. And I don't have a problem with that. I would love to see more of her cuckoo. I'm a big Cynthia Lee Fantaine fan. I love her energy. I would say to every girl on season nine that thinks that there's an inner attitude problem with them that might not get them bookings, if you can take that part of you and channel Cynthia Lee Fontaine's energy, the world will love you more.
Now, Mark, you managed to get yourself a list here of all the episodes and what happens in those episodes. Where'd you find this?
There's a wiki, like for Wikipedia, like it's a wiki for the thing.
And this not be official. Yeah. This might be rumors, but right. It's kind of interesting to speculate here. Do you want to read them? So, this is the spoilers. Yeah. So people who don't really want to know about the exact contents, you probably want to skip through this.
So they say that there's going to be 14 episodes of about 60 minutes each, and then they'll have 12 untucked episodes of 30 minutes each. Now, in the first episode, the queens are going to need to create a dress made of flowers. Seems legit, right?
Easy enough, wonderful. Right? I would love to have that challenge myself. Mm-hmm.
And that Peppermint and Alexis are going to have to lip sync Don't Want to Fall in Love by Jane Child. And that Peppermint goes home first. Woo!
Oh, and Lady Gaga is a guest judge, and she gets in trouble.
I don't know.
Did your WikiLeaks script tell you and who won the challenge?
Well, Alexis, who won the challenge? I don't know who won the challenge, but Alexis got to survive. And then in episode three, James supposedly leaves and makes RuPaul cry.
Aww.
And then the episode.
So you're trying to say that based on what you're reading, that James Mansfield leaves on episode three?
Yes.
Oh, forsooth and for shame. I was hoping she made it to the top five and top six.
Yeah.
So when you take her down, she'll fall even further. Is that what it is?
Episode five will have a stage show and a circus themed magic theme.
Mm-hmm.
Pharaoh Moan will win the challenge, while Eureka and Sasha will have to lip sync I Want Your Love by Transvision Vamp.
Mm hmm. Episode six is an acting challenge, cartoon themed, and the queens were divided into two teams. Aja won the challenge, while Trinity and Farrah had to lip sync I'm Out of Love by Anastasia. The runway theme was Character Illusion. Ooh. And episode seven, eliminated queens coming back. And episode nine, double Shantae.
So that's how we get Peppermint into the top.
Oh, is that how it is?
Because I feel like Peppermint, they'd be really dumb not to have her in the top three.
Now, you noticed when she was gone, was she gone for a very, very long time? Or was she gone for a short period of time? My dear.
My name is Vivacious, and I can neither confirm nor deny that I knew how long Peppermint left. It seemed to me she only left for like 3 days.
Oh.
Well, the thing about it is with this season, I believe they kept all the queens locked up in the hotel during the entire season filming. Mm-hmm. And that's what we saw Shea Coulee come back, we were like, oh, she's skinny.
Yeah.
So that means she was in the weight room, in the cardio room, exercising her frustration out.
Yeah.
And not at the buffet table eating.
Like Kim Chi and Bob.
Yes. Because Kim Chi and Bob put on a like 15 pounds. Trixie Mattel. She also put on a little bit of weight, you know? And part of it is because it's like the freshman 15. When you have your meals catered, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And this happened to me when I went to New York City and I was part of YouTube's Next Up. It's like you put on a little weight because there's all this great food surrounding you and you can have as much as you want. And so when you're stressed out, you're going to stress eat.
Mm. Hey, Vivacious, was there a lot of delicious food while you were taping Drag Race?
RuPaul's Drag Race feeds everyone quite well. It's not only that. If you have a certain proclivity for a different type of food, for instance, Jocelyn Brown was gluten. She could only have food that was gluten free. Mm-hmm. RuPaul's Drag Race goes out of their way to cater to you for everything that you need.
And someone's got a plate full of dicks.
Well, you know, as they say, taste great, let's fill in. So I don't think that, you know, you got to remember, if Shea Coulee came back skinny, that could be Shea Coulee. You have to, as I said, Shea Coulee, she's very strong in her conviction. She knows Shea Coulee to me is like the person who is in charge of the Twilight Zone. She knows how to control her horizontal, her vertical, and her diagonal. And I think if Shea Coulee went there and came back skinny, it's because Shea Coulee said, I'm going to be on this show and I need to have this fierce, snatched up, skinnier body that is so fierce that when I hit the runway, I am just flawless. So she probably took it up on herself to be that person in terms of I'm going to look skinny and fierce. Mm. And there's nothing absolutely wrong with that whatsoever. She might have had weight before, as you say. I don't know anything about that. You do, because you've met her a billion times. But I believe if she did that for herself, she probably did it on the grounds of, I'm going to come out in here and I'm going to serve it up.
So who do you think is going to make it into the top five? I want to hear all of you guys. Who is in the top five?
Personally speaking, yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if Shea Coulee, yes, Trinity Taylor, made it to the top five. I wouldn't be surprised if Valentina made it there. I wouldn't be surprised if Alexis Michelle made it there. And I'm not surprised if Peppermint made it there. Yeah. That's just how I personally feel.
Who's the one queen to watch your back for? Like, who is the one to beat? Who's the front runner of all of them?
Peppermint? I would say for me personally, I would say watch out for Peppermint, but I would also say don't sleep on Trinity Taylor for one reason.
Oh, really?
Trinity Taylor is the type of girl. She's got tricks on top of tricks on top of tricks on top of tricks. Remember, they don't name them. Listen, look at Trinity K. Bonet. You do not name yourself Trinity if you don't have three tricks in one all at the same time. Trinity, seriously, think about that. Don't mess with a girl who named herself Trinity, because it takes a lot of energy to decide you want to go that route. You're going to back up the word.
Shea is very popular with the fans of the show right now. They even gave her a nickname. Shea Kool-Aid, because you're going to be drinking the Kool-Aid.
I believe that is true. I personally believe, I would say I've already swallowed the Kool-Aid from Shea. I don't know what flavor it is, but I'm drinking at the holy fountain of Shea. I think the bitch is statuesque. I think she's fierce. I like her determination and conviction, but from seeing many years of her having a carbon footprint on YouTube as a strong, fierce performer with a fierce fashion sense, she's got my vote. The same thing with Peppermint. The same thing with Trinity Taylor. You know, I believe that these girls are very, very strong. It's like Peppermint, honey, let me tell you something. There's a saying in New York City, queens who graduate from AMDA was meant to be on Drag Race because they'll never be in the bottom. They'll always be on the top. Something about the AMDA queens, when you audition for RuPaul's Drag Race, bitch, you know exactly what you need to do to get to the top.
Mm.
And so Peppermint is one of those AMDA girls. She's a full theater queen, and she knows what she needs to do. And she will look as though she can't get it done, but I'm going to tell you this. I was one of the people inside Peppermint's apartment helping her pack her bags. Not the Bianca style of packing to leave, but packing to get to Drag Race. Let me tell you something. The bitch nearly put the kitchen sink inside the suitcase while she was packing too.
Mm-hmm.
So both Bianca Del Rio and Peppermint overpacked for the Drag Race?
No. What I'm saying is, what I mean by pack, when I say the packing for Drag Race, meaning that they are mentally prepared with everything that they need for the show. They are mentally prepared and also physically prepared. As in, if there was a challenge, based on every challenge that RuPaul put out for the season, I think Peppermint had three costumes or four costumes to counter it.
Mm.
She came prepared.
Well, part of it is that, and I told this to James Mansfield before he got on Drag Race, even though he the entire time denied it. I said, girl, get yourself a dress pattern that you can sew. You know, if they give you a potato sack, you pull out this dress pattern. If they give you velour, you pull out this dress pattern. You know you're going to look good in. You know it fits you right. And you know it doesn't take that much time to make. And that's why we saw right. Bianca Del Rio wearing that boat, you know, top dress.
The boat neck.
Because it's an easy dress to put together and she looks fabulous in it.
Well, it's not only that, though. RuPaul's Drag Race actually, in my season, encouraged that you came with a few patterns of your own because you're going to need them. Because if you know anything about if you know anything about pattern, even if they told you that you had a makeover of a man and he was three times sizes bigger than you, you already know what your size is. You just augment the sections that you cut and push to the side, left and right, to increase to match that person, or you contract it down to scale it down to the person that you're trying to get it done on. So yes, you should always have a pattern with you. Even when I travel, I always travel with an open back cat suit pattern. And the whole idea is, God forbid, should some shit happen, take me to the fashion district, because I'm making three cat suits of this type in different fabrics that have no arms, but with a cowl neck. And I'll be performing in that should I happen to not, my suitcase happen to not show up to the gig with my costumes. But at least I know I'm prepared.
Well, Vivacious, I hope that all our top season picks go far. But I want to say to all the season 9 queens that we want to congratulate you guys, because I know this is a very difficult journey to get to this far. And enjoy the process. If you got eliminated early, treat it as a badge of honor and have a sense of humor. I think one queen from the past season who we interviewed, who got eliminated early, who was a Chicago pageant queen, who the name is escaping me.
Candy Ho.
Naysha Lopez.
Naysha Lopez.
Naysha Lopez, that's it.
Naysha Lopez had a great sense of humor about it all. Mm-hmm. And people love her and people love working with her. And part of it is, like, I think when you approach this with a smile on your face, even though sometimes your heart is breaking because you went sent home early, it says a lot about your character and it'll get you far in life. Mm-hmm. All of you girls are welcome to come on Feast of Fun and on Cooking with Drag Queens. You don't have to ask for permission from somebody. I give you permission. As RuPaul says at the end of the videos, go on. I encourage it.
You have been around RuPaul too much. Now, from my end, my motherly piece of advice to all these girls are, congratulations. It doesn't matter where you make it on the TV show, you've made it to this higher level. Own it. Be a wonderful person when you go out. Meet and greet. As I said before, it's nice to be nice.
You got show up on time. And you got somewhere where a lot of other people haven't been, you know?
Sorry, I didn't hear you.
I said, and you've gotten onto a television show where a lot of other people have never gotten on. So you have to be grateful for what you have.
Exactly. You've beaten out a lot of girls on there. Don't use the inner demon, the inner saboteur in yourself and go online and call somebody a hater because they have an opinion contrary to yours. It doesn't matter. As Mother RuPaul says, if they ain't paying your bills, pay that bitch no mind.
Mm-hmm. In other words, poor people don't matter.
Right. Oh, stop it. Stop it. No. For every one queen with a bitter accent, there is 300 girls willing to embrace you for who you are. Mm-hmm. So be nice. Go out there. Spread love, as RuPaul would say. Everybody say love. Show up on time. Love. Do the best job that you possibly can. You know, don't go out there and try to be crazy with what you want to demand for your pay. Be flexible.
How much should they charge? That is how much should they charge?
I heard that one, according to Mystique Summers, and I'm gonna plug this bitch right now.
Oh,
according to Mystique Summers, she said that there was a girl who was on this season a few months ago who went out telling people that they need to book her for $5,000.
Oh my goodness.
Could she get it?
So I'm like, girl, unless you're the winner and your name is Bianca Del Rio, have a few seats back. Unless you're Adore Delano that's showing up with a full band behind them to turn out a full rock number and can actually fucking sing, you're not that $5,000 queen. Because Adore throws the kitchen sink in her performances. I will hand Adore that $5,000, if not more. Adore gives a show. So, you know, whoever that queen is, good luck to you, but do not be that greedy queen when it comes to what you're asking. Be flexible, be mindful, always be courteous to the fans, because remember, it's because of your fans why you can traverse this plane and move higher. But also in the process, Make sure you thank RuPaul. Don't go online and call her a heifer. She's not your damn equal. She's still the person who paved the way for all of us. Be grateful to her. Don't call her your twin sister. She's not your squirrel friend. No, she's the person that used her platform to put us on her platform. That's why I always revere Mother Ru. She is not my equal. I bow down to her at all times, and I thank her that every season she has given us her girls, a new set of girls that we can be happy for. But to be honest, I'm going to tell you the real truth. Mother Ru, thank you for doing RuPaul's Drag Race Season 9 this season. In a world right now where we have to deal with dumber than chimpanzee and all this madness, if we've never needed drag before, this is the time when we need drag. I'm not saying to be dismissive of the issues. What I'm saying is, if you go on Vivacious's Facebook page, you will see I am all about talking about the issues, racial inequality. But Drag Race allows me to escape for a few minutes to have some normalcy of love again in my life. Drag Race is actually is what bringing back my passion and my happiness, because after dealing with what Trump is about to do, that's taken away my joy. So Mother Ru, thank you for bringing back joy into our lives by announcing Season 9. Now, the admonition that I would say to Mother Ru is this. I know you always say the universe opens and closes. Mother Ru, the LGBT community is its own universe. We will not close our doors and not have a Season 10, a Season 11, or a Season 12. In this time and age, we need Drag Race more now. We need it more now than ever in the past.
Hey, if God closes a window, open it back up. It's a goddamn window. That's what windows do. You open them and close them. Don't wait for God to open the window. You got arms? Open it up. And if it don't open, grab a brick and smash it open.
And smash it in and walk on through that window like you own it.
That's right.
That is right.
Damn it.
You know,
20 years ago, Laura Branigan did a music video with three New York City drag queens, Misunderstood, Head of Lettuce, and a very young, very skinny Vivacious. And that video just got posted online again, thanks to to Misunderstood. Mm-hmm. What was going on in that video?
What was going on in that video was a whole lot of fun.
How'd you get roped into it? What happened?
That was like one of your first gigs.
It was one of my first gigs. I think I was working a night at a club and they asked me, like, hey, do you want to be in a music video? I said, sure. And they were like, oh, it's going to be filmed tomorrow. And I think it was like a Monday or a Friday morning or a Thursday morning or something like that. And they told us where to go to into the city to meet up with the people. And then we met there. We filled out the paperwork. And then they drove us all the way out to Long Island. So all day they were just like teaching different people. They were teaching different people the parts of what they had to learn for the song. And I was like, at that point, they were like, everyone, we're going to be doing this video for so many times. So they were filming the video. They would take different people in the room and film at different times. Like there's a scene where everybody was dancing that didn't have anything to do with us. And so they were doing different sections. And we were in the next room hearing this the whole day. And they were just feeding us and giving us water and all of that stuff. And we were pacing ourselves. And they said, you're going to hear the song get played so much that by the time it's your turn to be on stage with Laura Branigan, you're already going to know the track. So what I did was I stayed closer to the door and started just hearing what was going on in the other room as they were video recording it, and started learning all the lines that by the time it came time for me, myself and Misunderstood to be on stage, I already knew all the damn words just from hearing it. It was repeated over and over and over and over. And it was a wonderful blessing to be involved in something like that. As you can see, that look that you see right there is original Vivacious club look. What you didn't, that outfit is a red, blue, and black striped cat suit made by Patricia Fields that used to be sold in Patricia Fields' store back in the early 90s. That was one of her staple colors. That was one of her staple patterns, fabrics that she would use on almost everything. And I was wearing a Patricia Fields outfit back then. The thing that's on my head, that's what I used to wear on my head. Vivacious didn't used to start doing drag. It was, I would wear the costume, but my face was still as a boy. Back then, I didn't even have hair on my face to shave. I was that smooth, honey. I was a baby. I was probably around 18 or 19 at that time when I did that video. I didn't even own pubic hair at the time. And I did that video back then. What you didn't see on my feet was I had on a pair of 8-inch silver John Fluvog platform sneakers, honey, like the real club kids had. That was what was on my feet, child. And I was up in there pumping right next to Misunderstood and the rest of the children. And it was a lot of fun. You know, it's just the thing that you saw on my head, that was my trademark headpiece, one of my trademark headpieces, because when you back then in drag, you didn't have to keep. It's not like how nowadays where drag has evolved so much that you have to keep changing your hair, your headpiece. But yes, you have to change your costume all the times, etc. But that was the piece on my head that I was trying to use to go, what helps define me? So back then, that was a blue tinsel headpiece. Later on, it became a red one. Then later on after that, it became a tinsel bar mitzvah wig that they used to use that had Hasidic curls on it with all these silver tinsel and mylar. It was a rainbow colored tinsel wig before I then moved on to. And then at one point I looked at the whole scene and said, you know what? There's a few fierce black queens here. How do I stand out? One was wearing hair, one was not wearing hair. And I'm like, what the hell do I do to make sure that nobody tries to call me Kevin Aviance? So I chose, I'm going to. So my trademark is skull caps. I am the mother of skull caps. So when I got to Drag Race and I auditioned with all my skull caps and all my headpieces, and they tell me, welcome to Drag Race, where you'll be judged on your pageant dues and your up dues and your pageant gowns. And they said it after 8 times. I look at them and go, are you trying to tell me you're trying to send me home already? Because y'all just told me to show up here with all my club kid shit. Now you're trying to tell me you're trying to judge me in a gown and an updo. My name is Vivacious. I don't do any of that. I like to look different. I don't want to look like any other queen. I want to be so completely different that all eyes are on me. For instance, look how I got eliminated. I'm wearing spikes on my head.
You went viral, though.
Yeah, you're the giant virus.
Yes,
right?
Sure did.
And since then, you've been in Miley Cyrus's drag queen explosion at the MTV Music Video Awards. So you are one of the few people who's kind of like this Time Lord, you know, Peaches Christ is another one of those queens who's sort of seeing the scene evolve through the decades.
Yes.
And it continues to go. So season 9 continues that change, and certainly a lot of these queens, and certainly Charlie Hides has a very promising future, and Shea Coulee and Peppermint, and certainly James Mansfield have an extraordinary future, and a lot of the queens that we're just getting to know, we wish you girls nothing but the best, and may the best woman, in this case, even a transgender woman, win.
Win!
Yes. But Vivacious, the time has come to say goodbye.
And we're not going to ask you to lip sync for your life, but...
The time has come for me to go lip sync for my life, darling.
Yes. Pump that
I'm
fan.
I'm not going to go mess it up.
Boom.
You, like, sleep with a fan, like one of those fans in your bed or something? Or, like, where...
No, as soon as our dialogue began, I ran to my drag closet in the back and picked up my fan, and I sat it next to me, so it's been with me this whole time.
Because I keep one handy because you never know when you're needing to be like, bitch. Oh, so hold on, I fucked it up. Shut the fuck up, you know. So
and then you can beat them with that fan.
And then you whack them. You were doing a performance at a club in New York City that I filmed you in, because we're trying to get you on Cooking with Drag Queens, get you here to Chicago. And there was some obnoxious queen that grabbed one of your fans and broke it.
Now, there's one thing I don't like is when a queen, I believe that when a queen shows up to a club, you should own everything that you own.
Yeah.
There is no need for a queen to go and pick up another queen's belongings and try to touch it. It's not my problem if you don't have all your accessories, but do not go and touch another queen's things.
And this was for a drag competition, so she felt like, hey, I'm performing in her drag contest, so why not just grab her fans and start smashing them on stage? And people were like, oh, it's like Vivacious is going to kill her.
And that's why up until this day, she has not been booked and will never be booked. Ooh. There, I said it for the record.
Oh, my God. Does she know who you if she knows you're talking about her?
I could not care less, honey. I play violins and mini violins. I'm not hashtag unbothered.
Do not fuck with Vivacious, honey. She knows karate and Puerto Rican judo. You don't know if she's got a fan, you don't know if she's got a gun, you don't know what crazy shit she's going to pull out.
Exactly, and she don't need to knock you out because you don't need to know if you're going to get knocked out.
She wants to knock you out, honey.
I also travel with my two sisters.
Who's that?
So when you fight me, you fight me and all my sisters, honey. That means you fight Ornacia, Shanita, and Shawana.
Somebody was asking me how old is Ornacia. How old is Ornacia?
Ornacia is now about 10 years old. Mm. Shanita and Shawanda are around 16.
Holy. So Shanita and Shawana came first before Ornacia.
Yes.
And she just mopped them all
up. There are old videos of me. There's a video of me online, and it's me performing a track called Jasmina. If you go on YouTube, and it's me performing a track called Jasmina, and you will see Shanita and Shawana on my shoulders performing with DJ Danny Tenaglia at Pasha in New York City. And there are videos, I think, prior before that too, of them with me in other places. But yeah, they're 16, and Miss Or is she's 10 years old. So she was not created for the purpose of Drag Race. She was a living entity before Drag Race. Mm.
Vivacious, love our conversations with you. You're so full of great ideas, catchphrases, witty comments, and insights. It's a real, if anybody needs to be on Drag Race All-Stars 3, we're pushing for you to be on that show.
All four.
Oh, you don't feel like you're ready for three?
Oh no, I'll be ready. I'm ready for three if they call. I just got a mug of you. I just need a mug of Dora Delano and get some of her coins.
Mm.
Well, honey, it's like you got it. People love you.
Drag Race, every single Drag Race will tell you this. Drag Race requires a certain amount of coinage in your pocket to execute it properly.
Mm-hmm.
Those gowns are not. If I was supposed to go back to Drag Race, I would literally need to show up with at least 22 gowns minimum, because we know that the show is not catered towards a club kid esque mentality or view.
You got to, in my sense, fly to Bangkok and get those girls to make you some pageant gowns. Go to Thailand, girl.
Misunderstood knows where to go. She goes every year. She's
probably there now.
That's what she. If she ain't in New York City booking these queens, getting gigs and stuff, she and Peppermint, she's like,
it's true.
I guess is Misunderstood going to be representing Peppermint? I'm wondering.
Well, this does tie into, hopefully I hope that Peppermint continues to work with Misunderstood in that sense, because Misunderstood to me is one of the, she's one of the sweetest people on the planet, but Misunderstood has been, she's the ultimate mother of New York City. And why do I say that? There are many kids who came up in the scene back then who were hungry, slightly partially homeless, and Misunderstood always made sure she threw her parties at clubs at places that served food, so these girls could be booked, and she made sure that they got paid and made sure that they walked off with two meals for the night, the one that they came in to eat and the one that they were leaving with at the end of the night. And Misunderstood, she's been doing this. Yes, she's that person. Yes. And this was before Screaming Queens. Misunderstood, as she was doing all this, decided to come up with a company and started booking out, doing all these corporate events. But when she was doing Lucky Chang's, the first time I worked with her, she goes, Vivacious, I know that a lot of these girls don't come from a good, solid, stable home. And some of them are probably here, probably hungry. So she goes, when they come into work, I make sure that before they even start to put on their makeup for the night, she physically, Misunderstood physically hands you the menu. from Lucky Chang's and tells you, order right now. The food comes while they're doing their drag. She goes, eat. And then as soon as the show is done, Misunderstood hands them a menu again and make sure that they have a meal to take with them on the way home.
That is
and
so
she's
nice.
Always been like that.
I love Feed those kind of girls.
To a queen.
So that's what we're going to be doing, a new web series. Hopefully we're working on one that's a lot cheaper to produce, where we just basically bring food to our apartment and shove it in a queen's mouth. Well, I mean, with their cooperation, it's not forcing them to eat.
You should probably call it Let Them Eat Cake.
We're going to call it Feed It to a Queen.
Yes. Feed It to a Queen. From, right? I like that.
You know who came up with that, right?
No.
You did. Do you remember?
So, do you remember?
We had an accident with our dog, Jesse. He got into a fight with a rabbit. The rabbit won, and Jesse was bleeding all over the apartment. And so we brought the dog in, we took him to the bathtub, and the bathroom was covered in blood, red blood.
He's okay. He's okay.
And so I posted photos of this on social media, and I said, what should I do with the body? And you wrote, feed it to a queen. And I write, all right, vivacious, eat up. And then he said, no, some other queen.
I like that, though. You know, well, the sad part is RuPaul would have had access to all my library of one-liners, but she sent me home early. Mm. One thing about me, I don't practice what comes out of my mouth. It comes out and it's gone.
Spit or swallow, don't let it wallow.
I put it into the universe and it's up for somebody else to take from it what they may. You know, so had she kept me around, honey, I would have given Miss RuPaul so many one-liners. Her library would have been filled for many years, honey. I am the original Library of Alexandria trapped inside my head.
Honey, that library burnt down.
You don't want to be the Library of Alexandria.
You want to be the Smith? I don't mind being that library, honey.
The Smithsonian? The Shismonian? I don't know. The Smithsonian.
The Shimonian Institute of the Shimonian Institute of Drag, honey.
Where all the good Shimonian, shit is in there.
The Shimonian Institute, because she's moaning, as in hormone, she moaning. Oh. The Shimonian Institute of Drag.
That's your prediction. Pheromone is going to win Drag Race. I'm going to hold you to it.
I put it this way. Don't be surprised if Aja comes out of her face and ends up in the top. Put nothing past RuPaul's Drag Race.
Yeah, I don't know which one of the young, skinny, young, pretty young queens is going to go far. I believe hard to pin down.
No, I'll tell you this much. I believe this is what I do know from seeing performances. If Aja had to lip sync against Pheromone or Valentina or Kamara Black, Aja will destroy them.
Okay. I will hold you to that.
I'm not even joking. Yes.
Thank you, Vivace.
In the middle of the season, we'll have you back on and see if your predictions were right or dead wrong.
If Aja goes up again, but you got to remember this, though. We're talking in terms of performances. A RuPaul Drag Race elimination is based on a few things. Did you get the task of the challenge properly? Did you execute it properly? Did you mess up on your lines leading up to the elimination? So I'm looking at it from performance alone. I don't judge a drag queen based on all the smaller projects that they have to do. I judge a queen based on performance ability only. That's why I say that there's a lot of pretty queens, but not all of them know how to perform. Aja is a performer.
Vivacious, it's a pleasure talking to you, sweetie.
We look forward to talking to you again.
It's a pleasure as well talking to you guys. Thank you, Feast of Fun, for having me on. It's been a pleasure and an honor to be on again in the new year of 2017.
We need you more
Ru,
than ever.
Thank you for Mother Ru, thank you for all that you've done for us by giving us another Drag Race season out there. To all my new sisters, welcome to the sisterhood. Welcome to the family. Best of luck. Good luck and don't fuck it up. And remember, most importantly, be nice, be nice, be nice.
Bye, Vivacious.
Bye, Vivacious.
Bye, lovelies. Mwah, mwah. Love you.
Kissy kisses. Vivacious lives in New York City. Check her out, Vivacious NYC. I think that's her website. Yeah,
Vivacious NYC.
VivaciousNYC.com and get yourself some shit. It's not loading up, but she's also on social media.
Yeah, on Facebook. She's pretty good about responding to people, I'm sure.
Yeah, she's really good about it.
If you want to order Onaysha for Valentine's Day, get one.
You can shock your husband or wife and be like,
"Happy Valentine's Day, here's a head.
You can kiss my head and then give me head.
You said you wanted head for Valentine's Day, so here you go. I got you one with jewels and sparkles on it."
So, Mark.
She knows a lot of these queens. Yeah, right?
She knows a lot of them. Now, I'm curious, because Vivacious
She probably knows more
than she realizes.
She's letting on to us.
That we realize.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, she's holding back on some stuff there.
You think
they all do. Those RuPaul's Drag Race girls, they all know. They know who's in the top three. They know who's the top five. They know all of it.
They know all the tea.
You know?
People are always like, "I'm not going to tell you anything because you're the media." I'm like, "Honey, I've kept a lot of secrets." Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't really spoil
I'm
things.
Not like WikiLeaks.
I just reveal things that
Am I
see
living
on the
in
internet.
Russia? No. Because I could keep my mouth shut. Okay. I didn't have to flee the country. Like, I don't want to be the Edward Snowden of drag. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I like where I live right now and I can keep a secret.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to, spoil all this stuff. Now, just based on what we do know, who do you think is going to be taking the who's the horse to beat? Who's the queen to beat?
I just don't know right now, because you just never know with editing and what they're looking for, who it's going to go. It's like, of course I'm rooting for Shay because she's our hometown girl. Yeah.
Is it going to be a Bob versus kimchi and a peppermint versus Shay?
It'll be
dynamic.
It'll be a looks queen, a talent, and a bitch, right?
Yeah. And so I'm guessing towards the top five, we're going to see a similar dynamic that Bob and Kimchi had between Shay and Peppermint, where the Chicago girls are rooting for Shay and New York City girls are rooting for Peppermint. But you don't see that happening this time around.
That one thing said Peppermint was going home first, but does she return?
Of course they're going to bring her back. She's too likable. She's too likable.
Okay.
So, Charlie Hyde's very, very, very funny person.
And if Cynthia Lee Fontaine comes back, which I'm guessing she probably would.
Very, very likely to happen.
And so, I'm going to say that she'll go far because she is super talented and she's lovely. And she's got, that incredible comeback story. It's like, I was on death's door and look at me, I'm still doing drag.
I'm curious about Trinity Taylor because she looks, at least in her video, she looks like a blue, very beautiful version of the Grinch Who Stole Christmas. Mm. She has that kind of like evil but beautiful quality
and
to
when
her.
When the hell is the show even going to premiere? We don't even have a premiere date yet.
Honey, as always, it premieres soon.
I want to remind folks that we can't do this podcast without your support. So if you're not a Plus member yet, consider signing up today at feastoffun.com/plus because your contribution to this show is what makes this show happens. We can't do it without you.
Attention, all non-basic queens. Get fierce and fabulous with your own Hunty University t-shirt. You know what Hunty University is, Mark?
It's a cooking school.
That's right. And the library is now open, so start reading. Go get lots of t-shirts and merchandise inspired by great moments in drag at our store, feastoffun.com/store. Only at Feast of Fun.
Goodbye.
Bye, everybody.